Welcome to Security Wire Weekly, a CertSecurity.com podcast for September 3rd, 2008. In this edition, we talk to Israeli security researcher Gadi Evron about the state of botnet research. Evron is reviving a botnet's mailing list to help researchers share their data. Israeli security researcher Gadi Evron believes we're losing the war against cybercrime. Evron is best known for helping investigate the cyber attacks against Estonia in 2007. Since then, the security researcher has been on a crusade of sorts to get others in the security community to share their research. Last week, Evron announced that he's reviving the botnet's mailing list. In this interview, Evron says information sharing could help produce better research and ultimately defeat criminal activities online.
You started the botnet's mailing list about 2 years ago. What was the goal then, and why was there such a need at that time for a list?
Well, the goal back then was to give it a shot. We've already seen malware everywhere. Well, the only thing the bad guys, or as I prefer to call them these days, criminals, have to do is log online and Google, and they'll find them. They can do pretty much whatever they want. Most of this information is public. So that was the first reason. If this is public, why not make it public? Why keep secret something that doesn't have to be secret? More importantly, though, there are other reasons, such as, for example, getting people involved. The closed communities that exist out there in order to fight cybercrime, mitigate attacks, make sure that the Internet remains safe, are very, very secret out of their own... Basically, they're secret... They're not really secret. Okay, let me put it this way. The closed communities out there that exist today and mitigate attacks on the Internet are, in their nature, more secretive. So that also means that less information can get in, less information can get out, and more importantly, new people who are relevant and can be trusted cannot usually find us or join the groups. Or it takes a long time for them to do so. And the third reason would be, well, we are fighting a war, or we are working hard, or whatever others may choose to call this. And cybercrime is winning. Over the past 10 years, we've been working very hard, and yes, we've gotten better. We have better tools, we are better organized, we know what we are doing, but still, we have not really made a dent. There have been some arrests, we have taken down some operations, but when it comes down to it, we haven't changed what the broader, wider picture looks like. The bad guys, criminals, are still making money. And I believe that we need to really change how we do things in order to try and... Well, we basically need to try something new. Because although we have been doing a lot, what it really comes down to is the bad guys can always do better. They can always evolve. They can always just move on. One of the things we can do, the final point, is we can try and get people involved. We can try get people to care about the problem because, for example, before Estonia happened with the war there, if you would like to call it a war, you would ask policymakers all around the world, what would you do about terrorism? And when they would jump up and say, oh, terrorism, that's important, they would have their spiel. That's something a friend of mine told me as an example. But if you ask them about cybercrime, they would say, oh, what's that? And when I heard that example, it really hit home for me. And I realized we're fighting a war for people who don't know it exists. We have to make sure that not only do people know that this war exists, but they care about it. Otherwise, we're never going to really be able to make a difference here. But it just keeps getting worse.
How is this new? I mean, if we started this 2 years ago and it sort of fell to the wayside or it didn't work after a little while or... It wasn't as active as it used to be. Why suddenly is it going to become active?
that's exactly the point. It did work. People were sharing information, but this is information we were not comfortable about being out there.
Okay.
It was not our... Let's put it this way. We did not feel comfortable with all these people dealing with malicious code. We did not feel comfortable about the potential harm this can do to us or the help this can give to the bad guys or the criminals. Meaning, if the criminals have a line to measure our response, our ability, our detection, then this could really hurt us. And there are many other reasons. And basically, I led that effort against a lot of opposition, which all this opposition, by the way, was very logical. But I decided we should try it. And again, we sent mixed messages. We would tell people, please share. But if you would like to share in private, please do it here. Or if they wouldn't do it like we like them to, we would basically treat them like they didn't know what they were doing, a little bit black maybe, black X maybe. So we really sent mixed messages, and it didn't work out, and we ended up not letting people share anymore. 2 years passed, and I think the message really got through to us. Yes, this information is all out there. Yes, we haven't really been making a difference. And yes, this may not work again, but let's try it. It worked in Estonia. Mm-hmm. Whoever launched the attacks against Estonia over a year ago, got the population fired up. I don't want to talk exactly on who launched the attacks, because that's a long story.
Sure.
But whoever it was, they were speaking Russian, whether they were just kids on the forum or the government, although I can't really say either way, and it's a really complicated story. But the point is, they knew what they were doing. They got people involved, they got people engaged in the problem, so it was their problem, and they went out and took it out in Estonia. And that reaffirmed for me how communities are formed in a very basic fashion. And yes, we have a constituency out there, if you like, of system administrators, security researchers, and yes, even just regular people would like this information, and we should make sure they have it. So this is really something we're testing out. We're checking it out. Maybe it won't work again. Maybe we'll decide it's too dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time to give it a shot.
Talk a little bit about information sharing and why it's important for researchers to actually share some of their raw data with the rest of the community.
Well, to begin with, we have to understand that we're never going to have complete information sharing for many reasons, whether it's to protect our own work, to make sure it doesn't fall into the wrong hands, which is critical when it comes to security, or even because we need to protect our own assets. But many in the community are actually industry, and they have financial agendas and goals to reach. So information sharing is always limited. It's always problematic, even if you do have complete trust.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that, right? That everybody has some financial goals.
Well, you know what? I used to be a very altruistic guy. Today I'm just altruistic. But I do realize the need of people to make the back and be able to bring back a salary to their homes, right?
Sure.
Or if
sure.
a company is out there and it's trying to... Not everybody can be altruistic in this world, and we have to realize that. And a very large portion of this community is financially based. Mm-hmm. So we need to accept that, and I don't see anything wrong with it. That said, once we realize we'll never be able to share all the information among ourselves, it is important to share, because there are many people out there who are doubling resources, researching the same thing over and over again, getting in each other's way sometimes by treating a certain resource the wrong way so that the intelligence goes away, etc. So sharing information is very important, especially when we all have a small part of the picture.
In your announcement or your blog post about this new mailing list, you talk a little bit about the antivirus industry and how there was a lack of sharing that affected it.
The antivirus industry is an industry, and they have their own financial agenda. That said, most of them always found ways to share amongst each other, usually among the technical people. The problem became when malicious code whether it's viruses or Trojan horses or worms, etc. When malicious code became so in the wild, as they call it, so widespread, it affected everybody, we all needed information. When Slammer or huge worms like that got into so many millions of computers, or later on when worms and botnets infected machines inside organizations, corporate security engineers needed information, academia needed information, law enforcement wanted to prosecute. And yet most of the virus samples, most of the knowledge was in the antivirus's hands. Now, while they were sharing information amongst themselves, and I personally preferred it that way, it was no longer possible for us to keep it that way because, hey, we need the information too. We need to maintain our networks if we are network engineers and we have 1,000 or 1,000,000 infected machines and they're connecting to the botnet. We need to know how it works. And, well, the antivirus industry were not big on sharing with the outside world, in fact. And very pointedly, they would call people who handle malware or samples black hats. They had good reasons behind it, and it was based on their own history, which was, again, very reasonable, but it was no longer rooted in reality. The world around them changed. And because they would not let others in, others created their own circles to share information, and the antivirus industry was basically left behind.
Dan Kaminsky's coordinated massive patch for the DNS flaw. What's your take on how that was handled in terms of information sharing? And obviously, it got a lot of all of the vendors were on board, and Dan heralds it as a great success in terms of coordination and sharing between among the vendors.
Well, while I have personally coordinated quite a bit of international or global incident response, I was not involved with the DNS vulnerability. Dan Kaminsky, Paul Vixie, and others were involved, so I can't really comment on that.
Mm-hmm. You talked a little bit about sharing of information and how you were personally attacked for the way that you shared information. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Okay. People had reasonable objections as to why information sharing should not be done publicly when speaking about malicious code. So going out and doing it, of course, had some worries and resentment from some parts of the community. Mm-hmm. And we've all been working together for a very long time, but sometimes egos collide. And that's pretty much it.
Excellent. Talk a little bit about what stage we're in terms of the cybercrime war. It's that term, cybercrime war, has been batted around all over the place. How do you define it? And then what stage are we in? Where are we in terms of the security community?
And it's a really nice buzzword to use. When it comes down to it, there's the internet. There are users on the internet who can nowadays do actually use it. And there are the people who try and abuse these users. Right now, these criminals can basically do whatever they want. And some of them have not just been abusing users and stealing information, but rather also showed us they're willing to take down the internet if we get in their way. We would think, why would they do that? After all, the internet is where they're making their money. Well, scorched earth is part of their strategy, and they've shown us they're willing to do this. So when you know you're not in control, when you know that the people who do not have your best in heart are in control, and when you see the problem only getting worse with billions of dollars lost, and that's the only way we can measure it, right? Mm-hmm. Then something needs to be done. Because while the sun is going to rise tomorrow, this is very important to say, and while no, the agent is not going to die tonight, it's getting worse.
Well, that does it for this edition of Security Wire Weekly. Be sure to check out our previous podcasts by going to our podcast landing page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And as always, you can get the latest security news and information at our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.